B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sporting events, pro sports, in that first week or so of June without spectators and modifications and very prescriptive conditions also can begin to move forward, and a number of other sectors of our economy will open up again if we hold these trend lines in the next number of weeks. And that includes, for example, getting a haircut.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. What? What's up? What are you hawing? What do you got?
Hold on.
Uh-oh. You lose something? Look like you lost something.
The hell's my receipt for my washer?
Oh, that's it. You're going to have to buy another one now.
He's gone. Now we've lost him.
Oh, man, look at this. This is great. He's gonna have to buy a new one, Hardy. Simple as that. If you can't provide the proof of purchase, you know, buy it again.
You all got right. It?
What's yeah. The word?
It's over there. Whew. Heart attack.
Well, I mean, the guy knows you and all, so
sure.
He's basically part of the family now.
I mean, worse come to worse, you could just send the wife in to go buy the last one in the back. I mean, it's not like you're the only one who's bought the last one.
Matching dryer.
All right, then.
We found one. We have one of those dryers that matches that pair. You know, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I got one left of those too. What do you know?
Shut up.
You just heard Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom, governor of California, is opening things up in California for pro sports as soon as June. We had talked about this at the end of yesterday's show, that California could prove to be a roadblock, that is. And if you look back to what we were saying yesterday about L.A. County, that seems to be sort of the area that's more shut down than other places.
Yeah.
So it might still prove to be an issue for teams in terms of where they're located, because we talked about the Rams earlier. Their offices are in LA County, but their practice field is not. So they could go to their practice field right now and open it, but their business and office capacity is down to nothing. The office is closed. So there might still be some things that need to change. They might need to move some things. They might need to relocate a little bit, but right. Nobody has to leave the state. It appears now that won't be a problem. And that's a good thing, because that will now not get in the way of hopefully sports making a return or special considerations when they are about to return to get California teams back in the mix, because there's a boatload of them, bunch of teams in California,
right?
With all four sports. Also today, and I wonder if this applies, we talked about the NHL earlier. Justin Trudeau has announced that they will keep the Canadian border closed until at least June 21st. And it is for essential business only right now. I would like to know, does the NHL qualify as essential business?
In Canada?
Finland, maybe.
And that's an agreement between the U.S. and Canada, so it's not one-sided. It's not as if Canada decided this on their own. But Trudeau was a short time ago, within the last hour, speaking, saying that the two countries have agreed to extend the border closure for another 30 days. I've got to assume, Hardy, that's not going to apply to NHL players.
I mean, not making a joke about whether or not it would be deemed an essential business in Canada, although I think it probably has a fair chance. I think they can make some exceptions for things like that. And if they, you know, if it were just explained, look, these guys have been tested. We're trying to do this thing. It's not just for a U.S.-based company. It's for, you know, something that's going to benefit a lot of Canadian organizations as well. You think we can, you know, work out a deal here? I would think they would be able to. It doesn't seem like something insurmountable. Now, does that go for all people involved with the game, all staff, all everybody? No. But for the players, I think they could probably figure it out for the players.
Yeah, I would think that they could get an exception.
But yeah. 17% out of the country right now.
Yeah, 17% according to Gary Bettman.
Yeah.
That's not a low number.
No.
But
no.
I assume that all those guys are in Canada is where they are. I don't think a lot of them went back to Europe. I don't think that's what happened.
Well, I wouldn't
that's
think
the thing
so, no.
Too. Like, where would Tuukka? Would Tuukka go back to Finland?
Yeah.
He's sticking around? I mean, you know, maybe they did get clearance to go home and be with your family. And if your family went back there and say you do have children, you're going to go where your wife and your children are.
Yeah, it doesn't seem as plausible, though, to travel to Europe where a lot of those countries were ahead of us. And if they had gone back a month ago, that would be the last place you would want to go to some of those areas, not all of them. And, you know, we see the drastic differences between, you know, states and even cities within states. But if you were just being safe, would you necessarily go to Europe, A, and then B, you know, get on an international flight to go do it? Probably not. So I think Beatles probably right on this, and that anyone who has not remained in their U.S. city where their game is, if they have left the country, it would almost certainly be because they went to Canada.
All right, let's get to the action update. And we were talking about the NHL and the playoff format earlier. I've got some new thoughts on that, even since we talked about it a couple hours ago.
All right.
As I've seen a layout of how the playoffs might go if they add 8 additional teams, which seems insane. But if there are to be 24 teams in the NHL, how would it look? How would it go? Let's talk more about that coming up. Here's the update. We'll get to your calls as well.
So, and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looking at the NHL playoff bracket in terms of what it might look like if it were going to have 24 teams in it, Josh had it up on the screen earlier on our simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. There's also another image that I just sent you guys to if you want to. It's a little bit easier to visualize and see. There would have to be a play-in game between the bottom 8 seeds. All right, so this is hard to explain. Let's just say this. The lowest 4 seeds out of what would be the 8-team field are going to have to then play the next 4 lowest seeds, which would now be seeds 9, 10, 11, and 12. So the bottom 8 teams in each conference would be playing in the play-in round, and the top 4 teams in each conference would get a bye, if you want to call it that. So they wouldn't have to play a play-in game. For example, the Bruins could match up with the winner of an 8-9 matchup between the Blue Jackets and the Islanders. And if you look down the board, it would be the Bruins, Flyers, Lightning, and Capitals that don't have to play in that first round, which could be a shortened 3-game series type of matchup to determine who gets in. And you know who gets hurt most by that? It's in that format. And this is one thing that I think, you know, could potentially help. I don't know that it would help the Bruins, but it certainly might help a team like Philadelphia. If you're Philadelphia right now, would you rather play the Canadiens or the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Canadiens.
You'd rather play the Canadiens.
Yeah.
And they might get the Canadiens if the Canadiens can win a short 3-game series against Pittsburgh. Like, I feel like Pittsburgh gets hosed more than anybody in this. Like, what do you mean? I now have to play an extra round of games for what? Why? I'm a playoff team. Well, yeah, you're a playoff team, but you're in the bottom half of the playoff teams, so you're going to play extra playoff games. Like, okay. Good luck with that. Those are the teams I think get it the worst in the Eastern Conference. Like, Pittsburgh would, Toronto would have to play the New York Rangers, who are not currently in the playoffs, but would then be elevated to being in the playoffs. So Toronto's got to play an extra round. And by the way, there's been kicked around ideas of both 20 and 24 teams. With 20 teams, you know who's not getting into the playoffs if they limit it to 20? New York, Chicago, Montreal. So I can tell you right now, they're not going to cut that field to 20. They're going to go with the 24. Yeah. They're going to welcome in the Chicago market. They're going to welcome in the New York market.
You want the main teams.
And, oh, by the way, one of the most iconic franchises in the league, the Montreal Canadiens, are going to be joining the party, too. Not that that helps them big in the television ratings in Canada, because they don't make as much money up there.
Let's go.
But it's just, oh, the Canadiens are playing someone? Yeah, I'll check that out. So I would say you can almost guarantee they're going to go to this 24-team format that has been reported on this week, and they are, again, apparently leaning toward. That's what they're going for.
Well, I think it would be a bad break for a couple of those teams that you mentioned, but it all falls under the category again, too. And look, they're not going to refuse to play. They're not going to say, you know, no, we're not going to do that. But there will be a fair amount of how badly do you want this to happen? You know, are you okay with having to do it this way, even though it's totally different? It has nothing to do with how the normal regular season would then morph into the postseason. And yeah, we understand. But do you guys want a shot at winning this thing? Because, you know, this the best idea that they can come up with. And I don't know that it is. I don't know that this is, you know, really the collective efforts of everybody involved and then coming up with the most fair and equitable way of doing it. But for any team that wants to complain about it, I still say you got a chance to you still have an opportunity to go in there and win the whole thing without having to have had played the rest of the regular season. So it's a better chance than some of them would have gotten, and others are going to be up against it a little bit, but for the opportunity to play, the opportunity to win a Stanley Cup in a much different format, I don't think they're going to have that much of a problem with it, or at least they shouldn't.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. If you have some thoughts on what this would mean, as far as the coming back into the NHL goes, I think that the Bruins are at a little bit of a disadvantage because they are older. And I hate the idea of adding any of these extra teams anyway. I think all these crap bag teams that are going to get in, this is not good for the product itself. And I think you open up the chance for a good team that would create a better playoff product. You open up the chance that they get knocked off, they get bounced early by an inferior opponent because, you know, they're maybe a little bit younger and a little bit quicker and they bounce back better from the big long layoff. And so that's my biggest fear about this, and I just feel like it is going to potentially hurt the Bruins early on. And let's assume, though, and let's hope that after this three-game shortened playoff that they do the play-in with, that it then goes back to normal. Seven games.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seven games. I'll at least feel better about it if that's what we know it will be.
You'll feel better in terms of it meaning something approaching what other Stanley Cups have meant.
Well, you've got a better, over the course of seven games, you've got more of a chance, and I think you more often find,
okay,
you know, the truly better team.
Yes.
Right? You might be able to knock a team off quick in a three-game series. Well, do that in a seven-game series.
But I gotta say, Beetle, your fear of an older team being hurt more by the layoff, I think it's just the opposite. It's the older guys that get the extra rest, and it's some of the older veteran players that have said they don't need any ramp up, they don't need any warm up games. You know,
Hardy. I've heard Brad Marchand talk about this. So who else has said it on the Bruins?
I've heard Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin say, start the playoffs. That's all we need.
It was really Marchand. Marchand's like the one, you know, like, hey, man, don't forget, we haven't skated. Bergeron talked about it. Chara has done some Zoom calls. But you talk about the older guys that you see could be a disadvantage. It could help a guy like that who looks absolutely gassed at the end of the year, you know, to where he looks gaunt. And maybe a layoff like that could help him and sort of find that fount of youth.
That's what I'm saying. Give him.
But what scares you, though, too, is what scares you is the guys that are really at the end, like this could be our last year mentally. You're thinking you're not saying it. But, boy, this layoff has really pushed me towards I really don't want to come back. There's a mixture of people. So, I don't know.
I just feel like whatever disservice you would have done to you by having to lay off, and then you've got to, oh, man, there's no ramp-up time. I just got to jump back in and play. The benefit of getting the rest outweighs whatever unfair position you're going to be put in compared to younger players who can just, you know, jump out of bed and start skating every day. I get it. I get what you're saying.
Krug talked about it, too. Yeah, you know, when he was talking about even the contract stuff and that.
Yeah, Hardy, it was. I've only thought of this because the Bruins players have, for the large part, been saying it. I probably wouldn't have thought of this, but they are concerned about it.
They said they've been riding bikes. They've been working out. They said you're on treadmills or on bikes. He said, but nothing can replicate putting on hockey pads and skating. It is a different. It's a different physical approach. You need to get ready. Like, you just can't plug and play and go here. It's going to take weeks. And then how many weeks are away? Like, really, we're going to start the season up again after a three-month ban? Jesus. It's odd. Big asterisk.
There's no asterisk. Stop it.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. It's like a mini-season.
Stop it.
It's like the Maui Invitational. You know what? Before we play our big season next year, we're going to have another little playoff run. We're going to get the 24 teams together, 24 best teams. We're just going to get a little play-in. Have some fun before the season starts. Because their season starts in September, right?
Yeah, and again, this doesn't even take into account the
next year.
The thought that, in my feeling, the NHL is just, it doesn't feel like they're moving toward anything, right? They've narrowed down their list of hub cities to less than 10.
I don't like this. I don't like them. I don't like them talking about hub cities. I don't think that makes them closer. I do not. I think you've got way more hoops to jump through if you're talking about moving teams to hub cities than you would if you just came up with a plan for have teams to play in their own buildings. And I know a lot of these buildings have melted their ice and they've, you know, just kind of, you know, figured, well, it's probably not going to happen. But even if it does, you know, what's the point of keeping it going? It seems like such a big chore of literally moving the entire operation of having guys live in a different city for that amount of time. I would feel better if they had come up with a plan that said, now forget about the hub cities. You know, forget about having everybody move to one or two places. We'll just play in our own buildings. And we'll come up with a shortened format, jump right into the playoffs and go get it done.
Yeah, you know, I understand what you mean. I know what you're saying by that. I mean, Hardy, there's not going to be any fans. They could play them at Warrior. You play them anywhere.
Right. You're right.
Yeah. Put them in a high school rink.
Yeah.
Right?
Canton Ice House.
put it anywhere you can find ice that hasn't been melted, if need be. 617-779-0985. Did you have something else, though?
No, I didn't have anything here.
Okay. Let's get to what?
Dog was in the room.
Oh. Okay. We'll get to headlines. Get your calls if you've got some thoughts on this, 617-779-0985. Masks in the NFL, we've touched on that today. We'll be doing that again. Also, sportsbooks still have Cam Newton as the favorite to go to the New England Patriots. We'll get to that in a bit as well. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Rock 92.9 wants to thank all of...
Corey's in Burlington. Corey, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call. So I just had a question for you. You know, with everyone talking about no fans being in the stands and everything like that, for the NHL, why wouldn't you just play the full series at the higher team's arena? You know, this way you don't have to deal with the traveling back and forth. Have they discussed anything about the travel?
Well, they're talking about doing hub cities, so these may be played in neutral sites.
And don't think.
I mean, I understand the hub cities, but if people don't like the hub cities, why not just play at the higher team's arena for the full series?
I don't know. I mean, if you're going to travel, why not travel back and forth? I mean, if you're introducing travel.
Well, I would say,
but they're not. They're not even talking about that. They're talking about hub cities.
Yeah,
they don't want to travel.
And if you're talking about some of the higher seeded teams, with like, well, Boston earned it. Depending on some of the metrics that you're looking at right now, if you're trying to do the safest thing possible, and you're looking at numbers of infections and all that, I'm not saying Boston is any worse off than other cities, but I think it might be. And that may not.
Why would anyone think that Boston would be at the top of the NHL's list? Between the arena, which has historically terrible ice NHL players complain about often, which was a major item of discussion during the playoffs last year. The fact that it's a hot spot. I mean, they're not doing. Why don't we fire up Madison Square Garden right in the middle of Manhattan, too, while we're at it? Like, what? No. They're not going to New York. They're not going to Boston. They're not going to New Jersey. I mean, no, they're not going to do that. There's no way Boston was going to win one of those hub cities.
What's how about the Rangers? If we start playing hockey next week, Rangers are going to have a home game. Who wants to go to Madison Square Garden and play next week? Nobody. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think. I don't know. I think they have to have multiple plans, right? You got to think of different contingencies. Don't think the NFL's not doing it right now. You know, first thing they're doing is not really even, I'm sure, talking about, hey, we're going to make sure we're going to be ready to play September, what is it, September 13th, I think, is opening weekend. How about this? Guys, we're probably going to do away with joint practices this year. You know, you look at our home schedule. I know we touched on this real quick yesterday, but you have Lions at home, and you're on the road with Philly. Mm-hmm. Those are ideally the two teams that you've had joint practices with in the past. I remember being in Detroit last year. We would go down to Philly. We would have it here with Philly. I think those are gone. Because what team is really going to say, okay, we'll come play you, but we really don't want to play you where we got to stay in a hotel for
if you want to talk about allowing things to happen in your league that will undoubtedly question the legitimacy of the games being played, start doing things like tell a team you got to fly to Boston to play the Bruins and you don't get to go home at any point during the series. Yeah, you got to live in a hotel room while they go home to their homes every night, and you sit in the hotel room for the 7-game series. What do you think the appearance of that will be? If you start doing
unfair
that.
Advantage,
that's going to happen.
That would be termed unfair advantage, and,
right?
You would have a major legal thing on your hands. Yes,
I mean you would have the lower seeds be absolutely irate.
Well,
that being the case?
Why do you think an NFL team can't open a facility now because the other team in another state or say California is not ready to open their facility? Everybody should open at the same time. Whenever this all comes back, whether it's baseball, whether it's hockey. Or whether when football says, hey, all facilities are open, it's all 32 at 12:01 a.m. this day. That's when we're going to do it.
That hasn't happened, though.
I know it hasn't happened.
They're already opening
the
doors
at
NFL facilities. The thing that they're doing to maintain the competitive balance is saying that coaches can't come in, that there can't be any coaching that's going on, which I don't think is a bad solution to it, by the way.
I mean, you don't think like the NBA, like you open their facilities and they could go and shoot around and they have the social distancing. It's bad for Brad Stevens to be there and watch his guy shoot. Do you really think he's going to be running plays? Like, I don't understand.
No, but it's
that
it's an unfair advantage if he's there and he's able to coach up his players. So if you ban them from the building, you know that there's and that they abide by it. You know that there's less chance of there being an advantage.
Right, to the stuff we talked about with Belichick. You know, it's one thing to zoom somebody, but as far as being, hands-on, hey, I don't like your technique, drop your hips, open your hips this way, push through this shoulder. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, because I don't trust a coach to just sit there and watch and say nothing. That's not what they do. You imagine that? Oh, the coach is here. He's going to watch your entire
coaches
workout.
Coaches
and he's not going to do anything. He's just going to sit there and keep silent and just observe.
No, they're know-it-alls.
Yeah,
they
that's
want to coach.
Not
they want to change players.
Right. Yeah. They want to coach. They want to make players better. That's what they do. So I understand why they're sort of settling on that as the way to keep and maintain some competitive balance in there is by doing that. So, no, I don't think that'd be a way to do it, to put everybody on notice and say, yeah, you're going to have to go to Boston. You have to play all seven games there if there are seven games. Like, what?
I got you.
How's that fair? And so that's why I think the NHL wants to cut down on travel, and that's why they want to do the hub cities. Can they just figure out what the hub cities are and start trying to be ready for it? Because, Hardy, as you've mentioned, it's a lot easier logistically to have teams be able to play in their own buildings because everything's already in place, you know, training and where they work out, where they skate, where they eat, where they do everything as a team together. That's in place. If you go to a hub city, you've got to set that up for all the teams that are going to be there. So I would start to figure out where those cities will be soon.
Well, it gets back to kind of the thing that we talked about before with, you know, setting a date. And for all we know, maybe they have. And they don't want to announce it because then people are going to try and hold them to it. But start with a date when you would like to start this and maybe the place, okay? You figure out what teams get in and figure out exactly how you're going to conduct it. Let's say we want to start at this time in either this or these locations and kind of work your way from there because the rest of it is just, it's academic. And you could argue a lot of it's academic right now because you don't know exactly what the course of the virus is going to be, but it's still trending in the right direction to now where you could say, okay, we need to start by this time, and because we need this amount of time, and we're going to do it here, here, and here. I mean, it seems like if you could decide on that, it would be a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Because now it's again more of this like, oh, maybe we should talk about that. Oh, maybe we should talk about that. No, there's a problem with that. Someone's going to have to make a decision at some point. It may not be the best, but do you want to play?
Well, this
seems
like
a weird, something done?
This may seem like an odd question. Okay, so I got a lot of buddies who have kids that play hockey. And every year they go on these big tournaments, the Lake Placid. I have no clue what the structure's like there. But isn't that built up from the Olympics to where you could house a ton of teams and you could play multiple games and then you got the one big rink? I've never been to Lake Placid. I have no clue what it's like. But I get guys that go venture there for 2 weeks a year because they're in these big hockey tournaments. And they house them right there. Nobody's ever mentioned that, so it's probably out of the question.
I don't know what the cities are. Who knows, though? Might be one of them. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know that anyone knows exactly which ones they've narrowed it down to. 617-779-0985. There's an update on the Jordan pizza story from Sunday night on The Last Dance. Have you guys
not
seen
a lot of people? Ooh, yeah,
I haven't seen the update.
The director, local guy from Newton, the director of The Last Dance, did an interview on ESPN, and he has given some more background on the pizza story that was not a part of the documentary, things that were left on the cutting room floor that he says allowed him and those putting the documentary together to believe the story that it was only Jordan who ate the pizza. You'll hear this from him coming up next.
Zone and Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The sport. Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is The Who, another celebration song for Pete Townsend's 75th birthday today. Yep.
It's nice of you guys.
Pulling out all the classics.
Is this the one where he does the big windmill guitar move on?
Yeah, he did it in so many Beatles, it's hard to say.
He had to have done it in this one, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can hear that. Listen to that guitar. That. That's a strat. I'm a bit of an audiophile, and I can tell you that is Pete Townsend's Fender Stratocaster right there. That's an unmistakable sound.
617-779-0985, the phone number for you. Here's an update on the Jordan Pizza story, because as we talked about it yesterday, there are some questions about it. Number one, how do you bring a pizza into a room full of guys and only one person eats the pizza?
Mm.
Right? There's just some elements to the story that seem a little suspect.
I can tell you, because I've done it, order a Hawaiian pizza. Your odds greatly improve of being the only one who's going to eat it.
Anchovies.
And I was going to say anchovies.
Anchovies
right there.
Another thing. Now, obviously, you have to like Hawaiian pizza, which I do, or you got to like anchovies, which I'm guessing Zoe does.
I do onions, olives, anchovies.
Whoa! Guaranteed. I'm not touching that pizza.
I tell you what, you laugh. If the anchovies are small enough, they liquefy when they cook, just to give you that Caesar salad taste.
Oh, yeah, so it's like it's like a fish oil pizza.
Yeah, it's like just like drizzling fish oil all over the top.
So gross.
Way to get your omega-3s.
Yeah. Look at Beetle. Beetle's getting sick.
Anyway, Jason Hare, who is the director of The Last Dance, he's also produced things such as The Fab Five, the 85 Bears documentary. He's done a lot of stuff. Newton North guy, Jason Hare. He went on with Jalen and Jacoby yesterday, and I believe Jalen Rose has accused Jordan in the past of being hungover in that game.
That sounds like a Jalen Rose thing that he said. I remember hearing that, too. It was Jalen Rose's.
Yeah, he said it was a hangover that he was dealing with.
Right. Well, it's like you guys being around me for as many years as you have, and then you find me, I don't feel so great the next day. You think I have the flu, or you think I'm hungover?
Hungover.
Yeah. There you go.
So let's hear from him in this interview that took place yesterday, in which he gives more on the background and backstory about the pizza and why he thinks it's a credible story, and at least that Jordan was the only guy that touched it.
All right.
Here it is.
When the pizza shows up, Michael says, everybody, do not touch this pizza. This is mine. You didn't wait for me. Don't touch this. So he spits on the pizza.
What? My 7-year-old
son.
Hold
on, this is exclusive right here. Hold on.
What?
Is it past your curfew, Jason? Are you sure? You know, young people, babies, and elderly, they just say whatever. Are you serious?
I am telling you what was told to me in our interviews. I was not in Utah. I was in college. I was in Williamstown, Massachusetts when this happened. This is not the only time you can look up that Michael would spit on food if he didn't want people to eat it.
He's not wrong about this.
Okay.
There's an outside the line story that was written a number of years ago that reads, right from ESPN's website, back when they used to shoot a lot of commercials, Michael Jordan's security team would wait for him in his trailer while he was on set. A woman named Linda cooked Michael's meals, and he loved cinnamon rolls. She'd bake a tray and bring it to him. When it came time to film, he'd see the guards eyeing the cinnamon rolls, and he'd walk over and spit on each one to make sure that nobody touched his food. This was something he apparently did from time to time. Spit on his own food.
I mean, I didn't think
if I spit on my food, I really wouldn't want to eat it. I know it's being territorial.
No, that's number one. It does make it less appetizing. Number two, I didn't think Jordan was, you know, a good guy. Oh, he's one of the good guys in sports before this. And the documentary, I thought he, you know, presented himself, you know, pretty well for the most part. But when you hear other stories like this, it just solidifies my notion that, no, he wasn't a good guy. He wasn't a nice guy. He wasn't even fun
this
to be
goes ar- back to the
he
plane
wasn't even
stuff.
Fun to be around.
It's like being around a dictator. You know, okay, so we're going to get on a plane. This guy didn't play well today, so he's not worthy of eating, waitress, or flight attendant. Please do not feed him. So if Jordan orders a pizza and it comes in the room and you're a young player and you're MJ, he calls himself MJ. Hey, guys, don't touch the pizza. I'm eating
right.
pizza. It's for me.
I
guess what? They're not going to touch the pizza because that dude's a badass.
Can you imagine that spinning on your own pizza? Like,
if you're like an awful person, yeah.
Can I tell you one more thing I find a little strange about it?
It's not even strange. It's just, wow, that's a terrible person.
That's so
a terrible guy.
He also said that Jordan had not eaten dinner that night while the rest of the team had. He had skipped dinner. He also stated in this interview. So that was part of it, too.
You drink 30 beers, you get full.
Right.
Full.
Yeah, which, when I heard that, I go, so he was on an empty stomach and was drinking when they were all together, which is why no one else got any pizza. Isn't it odd to send out for a single pizza when you've got a room with, let's say, 20 guys in it?
Maybe if you're the only one who's hungry, do you ever crave pizza after a long night of drinking?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I used to, honest to God story, there's a place called Little Stevie's Pizza, and it's over there
right,
towards Fenway.
Right over by Berkeley.
We would walk in and get behind it, and we would make the pizza. We'd make our own pizzas. We'd make our own cheesesteaks.
Oh, like
and they knew it. We tipped that sucker well. I think we didn't tip. We came in, 8 dudes. 20s down, 50s down, 100s down. Make whatever you want. Make a big pie.
You put cucumbers on the pizza?
No. That was a meat lover's that night, boy. Uh-huh. And then they had a jukebox in the back, and we put music in, and we did the – but they had a lot of not American music. It was like fun, like da 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 da. And then we'd all, hey, you know.
What nationality is that?
I don't know. Could be Greek. Yeah,
could have been a Greek pizza joint.
And then they had a chair. We'd put one guy up in a chair. Oh, we lift them. Yeah. That was good at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Little Stevie's. Loved that place. They were very good to us.
Opa!
Opa!
So
then we go to Moonville and get the cold tea. Oh, yeah.
But again, to add on to that, Hardy, like NBA players probably eat a ridiculous amount of food every day, right?
Yeah, I would
think
so.
It's still a weird story that there was only one pizza delivered.
And I bet they ate all the junk food they want. Their metabolism, just burning calories, like swimmers.
It depends on the player, though. I mean, we saw Glenn Davis do that, but, you know, it didn't necessarily work for him. And it's probably changed. I don't think there's a lot of NBA players these days smoking cigars in the locker room, on the team plane, in the car.
Hardy, I don't think there were a lot of NBA players then doing that. Never mind now.
But, yeah, you can pretty much eat whatever you want whenever you want, but there's only one guy eating pizza that night. Why is that? Huh.
And if they order the pizza, Mike says, that's my pizza, don't touch it, you ain't going to eat it.
Either that or someone came along and dumped a bunch of Visine or something on it after he spit on it to get back at him.
Right.
See that?
Does that really work?
Too. It did in Wedding Crashers, and as far as I'm concerned, that movie is legit.
Yeah.
Everything about it.
I also liked how in that interview, again, we don't have to play this, but Jason Hare also said that, it wasn't a hangover. You know, a hangover doesn't have you laying on the bathroom floor at 2 or 3 in the morning, to which I say, sir, you haven't done the kind of drinking maybe the rest of us have done.
Plant prayed to that porcelain god.
Hungover, yeah. Like, are you kidding me? No, trust me, that's definitely a thing, Jason. I don't know what you guys did at Williams College, but, laying on the bathroom floor at 3 in the morning, I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
Zoe, you ever been there?
Many times.
Yep.
Many times to the point you could tell which bathroom floor I slept on because the imprint of the tile where the grout is was usually on one. It doesn't hurt so much through here or here. It's more through here. Oh, well, they have a nice herringbone pattern in that tile where you slept. Yeah. I miss those days.
And you always swear off drinking the next day. I'm never going
to
do that.
That hasn't happened to me in a month.
Never.
That hasn't happened to me. I'm kidding.
It happened last night.
It did not.
I'm never going to do that again. All right, let's get back to your phone, 617-779-0985. There's also this. Cam Newton is still a favorite at some sports books to end up with the New England Patriots. Why is that? We will address the question right after headlines, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're into prop bets. You've undoubtedly seen the Cam Newton prop bets that have existed this offseason in terms of where he lands.
Right.
At a number of online sports books, Cam Newton's odds still have the favorite as the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots, including DraftKings, where he is listed as the favorite. Why is that so? Do they know something we don't know?
No, I don't think that's the case. You got 32 teams. You got 32 starting quarterbacks. Where is there the most uncertainty in the league? New England. Right? I mean, he had Tom Brady for 20 years, greatest player ever. Now he's in Tampa.
Right.
His competition, meaning meaning Jared Stidham's competition right now, is Brian Hoyer. And that is not a slight to Brian Hoyer. If you're the head coach and you're Bill Belichick and you're the greatest coach ever, and you say, we're going to have an open competition between Stidham and Hoyer. Hoyer came back with the assumption he's competing for the job. There's the two guys he's going with. In a perfect world, in the real football world, if Cam was right and Cam wasn't breaking down, he was the same guy that he was 3 years ago, it'd be an ideal landing spot. And I think Mike Lombardi went on somebody's podcast the other day and described what it would take for Cam Newton to fit into a Bill Belichick-type team and scheme and locker room and environment. And that gave it a life again.
So you think that's where it stems from?
Friend of Bill.
I wonder.
I don't think Mike's as tied in as Mike was 2-3 years ago because Mike's off doing his own thing. And, you know, Bill's got to be careful what he tells him. Now, does Bill tell him stuff to get stuff out there? Probably at times.
Is this just part of reputation? Never count the Patriots out of anything? Is that part of it?
Well, I just think it's two. What if they fall on their face? What if they come back and Stidham doesn't look great, or you know Hoyer looks a mess?
Mm-hmm.
Then it looks like a viable landing spot for him. Because really, if you're looking, and I can't stand Andy Dalton. I didn't want Andy Dalton to come here, but from a real true football standpoint, you look at Andy Dalton's numbers over the years. He started a lot of games. He's had poor coaching. All these coaches think they could fix somebody, and I think that's why Charlie Weiss said a long time ago that Dalton is the perfect fit because he's played, he can throw the ball vertically, he's always had good talent around him, understands the game pretty well, just hasn't been coached. These coaches think they can fix guys.
I also think
I don't think you'd look at Newton and say I could fix Newton. See, I would look at Dalton and say we could bring him in, I think he could conform to our system and we could fix him. I think Cam's
a better player than Dalton, though.
It's a dilemma, right?
I also wonder if it's that there's a lot of money coming in.
Exactly what I thought.
That a lot of people have put a lot of money on Cam Newton to the Patriots because not that the books believe all of these things, fans believe all of these things, which means fans are doing the never count the Patriots out. They've always got their sort of, you know, hands in everything. They talk to a lot of guys. People know that Belichick has spoken highly of Cam Newton. They look at the Stidham situation, and they don't believe in it yet, or they don't trust that yet, and they say, I'm putting my money on this, or they're wishing for it, whatever it might be, and it's actually the money that's driving it. It's nothing that has to do with football or what somebody knows or any of that.
Yeah, they're driving the odds because if you look at it from just a purely common sense standpoint, or not, maybe not common sense, but a really just, you know, bare bones look at it. Who in the league still needs a quarterback right now?
New England.
32 team, right? Okay.
Like, not to come in and fill numbers, but no. You need a starter.
Who
you
needs a quarter, starter right who now? Needs a quarterback in the league right now? Go down the list of teams. Okay, New England is probably going to be at the top or near the top of everyone's list because of they know the team, they know right. Tom Brady left, and they don't know Jared Stidham, all right? So that makes people automatically go there. And then what do they do when they go there? They bet it, and that drives the odds in a certain direction, and that's what makes New England the favorite. Now, maybe there's more to it. You know, maybe Vegas does know something in this
Vegas
case.
Vegas knows.
And they're thinking about it. I think the most likely explanation is the one that you laid out there, Beetle. And just from a, you know, looking at it just very, very quickly, who around the team right now still needs a quarterback and who's out there? Well, you answer those two questions with, you know, the really obvious answers, right. And you put those two together. Boom, there you go.
Pete's in Ohio on this. Hey, Pete, what do you got?
Hey, boys.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, you know, I didn't like Cam Newton initially. I think he's somewhat of a punk. But out of the three people, the three quarterbacks,
it's a strong word.
That were available, well, I mean, you see how he conducts his press conferences.
Well, I think he's a big ego guy. I wouldn't call him a punk.
Well, I've changed my tune on. I think that Belichick could help him and coach him up. And I think that out of the three that were available, Winston, I didn't want him. He's a head case. Dalton, I live in Cincinnati. I've seen too much of Dalton. I would not root for the Patriots if Dalton was there. Now he's at Dallas. But I think it's intriguing to have, I mean, if nothing else for the competition piece of it for Stidham and Hoyer. Not only that, he also reminds me of that wide receiver we had that we also used as a running back. I think that Belichick could do some odd plays that would be pretty cool this coming season if they sign him. What do you think?
I don't think he wants to do that now. And no. You know, Cam has gone completely the other way. Like, he's tired of taking that beating. He's tired of taking the headshots. How many times has he complained that referees allow defenders to hit him differently than they hit other quarterbacks? Cam wants to be a quarterback.
I would also say, to say coaching him up sounds ridiculous. This is a guy who's won an MVP in this league, okay? He doesn't need an instruction on how to play quarterback. What I think the question is can you have him conform to something closer to what you've done historically? That's what I wonder about. He'd have to play a little different right. game than what he currently plays. So, and I also think it could help him because he's older and they could put him in a position where he's not putting the same wear and tear on his body.
Right.
Like they could, that's why I was interested in this thought and I still am a little bit. And I don't think it's going to happen. I don't. But if it did, I wouldn't hate it. I'll tell you that much.
No, but because of the name. But I think when you have a Patriots timing based offense and everything's predicated on spacing and timing, this is all we keep talking about, right? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 quick feet.
Sure.
Back foot hits, ball's gone. Cam is very lazy in his drops because he's so talented. Like, he'll shuffle back sideways or he'll backpedal.
But then, if he wants to extend his career, though.
Right.
If he wants to extend his career and he wants to remain healthy and not get killed like he has, I mean, that guy's taken a beating in his right. career. And that's because just the way that they used him in Carolina, they used him with zero regard for his health. And I think he likes to play that way a little bit, too, like what you're talking about. Well, you bring him in and say, Cam, play a little differently. We're gonna do this a little differently and have you conform to what we've done. And
right.
guess what? You're not going to get your ass kicked every year.
No.
You're going to feel good at the end of the season, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know? We're going to put decent guys in front of you to block. You're going to have to operate a little differently, but at the end of the year, you'll be upright, dude. And you'll be a guy who's capable of doing more, and you'll be more versatile than you were before. Really, when you think about it. You think versatility, you think, oh, the guy who can run, the guy who can right. throw, the guy who can do that trick wide receiver plays? No, not anymore. Not with Cam Newton. He's too old for that now.
Right.
You got to get away from that thought when you're talking about Cam Newton. He's in his 30s now. He's about to turn 32 years old. Less of that, more of setting him up for success. And I think the Patriots, Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, they could be a good landing spot for him if he's willing to do that. Maybe he's not. Maybe he loves the way that he plays. Right?
Yeah, and here's the thing, too.
It's just ingrained.
I think New England likes their offense. You know, Josh has done this a certain way for so many years. Now, he's tweaked it with Jimmy. He's tweaked it with Jacoby. It's Brady's offense. So you bring in a guy like Cam Newton, you're changing everything. You really are. You really got to change it to adapt it. Stidham, I think they keep it kind of the same, shorten up even more drops, go up vertical up the seam a little bit more. I think they could actually take the offense and expand it with Stidham because he's younger. He's athletic. You know, you could do some half roll stuff, some bootleg stuff. You got a fullback this year, Vitaly. So they're going to be able to do some of that stuff. Cam, I think it's just, it's a totally different animal. It's like changing everything that we do. You know, you're so ingrained in what you do and less coaching right now. Hey, we're doing these Zoom meetings. We're going to keep the train rolling the way the train rolls, but we're going to tweak it a little bit with Jared. And Brian Hoyer's been through it, you know, 10 times here.
Speaking of adapting and playing in different ways, do you think LeBron James could make a transition to the NFL?
No.
Oh, of course. Yeah, tight end. Isn't that what we were always told LeBron James could play? He could be a tight end?
LeBron James apparently received a contract offer in the NFL back 9 years ago now when he was a younger man. 9 years ago, he got an offer to play in the NFL during the NBA lockout. We'll tell you which team it was making the offer.
All right, probably I got two thoughts on this.
Probably
yes
won't
no.
surprise you, but even more than that, LeBron, do you think LeBron could make the transition to football like Michael Jordan going to baseball? This is why this story came up again. We'll hit on it next.
Zolak, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.